And really, you can have your whole weekend, your Friday night, your Saturday, do whatever you want. But Sunday, you have to be at the Westgate. That is the place to be. That's the place for NFL football, Football Central, in the theater, 1,500 seats, smoke-free environment, free to get in. It is awesome. I highly recommend it. And you can even hang out with me. I'm sure that is a huge selling point. That's something they're going to put on the billboards very soon down. Yes, exactly. Down at the Westgate. And John Murray is with us right now from the Westgate. How you doing, sir?
Adam, what's going on, man? What is the topic of discussion today?
Really, we're just going to talk about the Twitter handle Superbook USA over and over again.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Greg, so Chrissy really prepped me well for this interview.
Yes, for sure.
Proceed.
Now, you like when you come on to play this character of somebody who doesn't love the NFL.
I know love the NFL.
That's your bit.
Define a character, but go ahead. I'm interested.
How did you spend your Monday night?
I was in New Orleans. There was a Redskins Saints game there.
Okay.
I think what's so funny?
I think your cover's blown.
Cover's blown. Yeah. Well, no, I'm excited for the game on Sunday between the Browns and the Chargers. I love the Browns games, Adam. I find every Browns game seems to go down to like the last 30 seconds. It's very interesting.
Well, I find this one very fascinating because it's Browns Chargers, and they both are just complete adventures on last minute field goals.
Yeah, that's true. And both teams have coaches I don't trust. It's going to be, I think that should be a pretty fun game. But I mean, I don't know how you could ever trust Hugh Jackson in any situation. And this new kicker the Browns brought in, I mean, I saw the replay of the winning field goal. I didn't see the game Sunday. I saw the replay. That was an adventure. The Browns are just fun, man.
Should that have even counted for 3 full points?
No, absolutely not. That should barely count at all. But I really enjoy watching the Browns' defense. That Denzel Ward kid is really impressive.
Top-rated cornerback in the league by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, I saw people tweeting last night about, oh, man, imagine if Barkley had fallen to the Browns and then they could have had Barkley and Mayfield. Well, I got news for you. They're a lot better off with Mayfield and Denzel Ward.
They'd be better off with Barkley and Ward, actually.
I don't agree with that at all. But, I think Ward is a terrific player, and I think he could be a big star for that team.
He's outstanding. The defense has been very good, for sure. Who was the referee in that Saints game? Did you notice?
I think it was Carl Cheffers. It wasn't one of my favorite ones. It wasn't like John Hussey or Jerome Boger, one of the real superstars.
It was
one of the generic guys.
Were you disappointed?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wanted it to be John Hussey. Then it would have been a nice, between that and stopping the game for Breeze's ceremony, it would have been like a brisk 5.5-hour game.
God, I ranted about that before, but I completely forgot you were actually there. How annoying was that in the building?
I mean, what's the difference? The NFL games take forever anyway. I mean, just stopping for a solid 15 minutes, I barely even noticed.
So while you were gone, I don't know. I'm sure you keep track of what's going on at the book while you're not there.
Yes.
But we did have the Conor McGregor fight, which you were out of town for. I know you were disappointed by mm-hmm. that because you liked going to those spectacles. How was that for the book?
It was a good result. I mean, we booked it to need Khabib. Not that you really needed to do much there. Most of the money came in on Conor, so we did do well. But you know what really surprised me, Adam? Seriously, was the public backing Khabib? They never let that price come down.
Yeah.
And that really surprised me. I guess I didn't appreciate how savvy the MMA betting public is, because they knew that Khabib was going to beat Conor, and they would never let that price get as low as I expected it to get. I thought the public was just going to come in almost exclusively on McGregor, and they proved me wrong. A little savvier than I thought. And people have been asking me, what would I make the price in the rematch? Based on what I saw in the first fight, I don't see how Conor could ever beat Khabib.
No.
I mean, Khabib is so much better at fighting than Conor is. I don't know. What's the point of a rematch between those two guys?
Well, what would you make it?
I mean, I'd probably open it something like minus 200 or 210, maybe a little higher, because I know there'd be money on McGregor. But the real price is much higher than that. I mean, Conor's only chance of winning would be just a miracle left-handed punch. Khabib is just that much better than Conor is at fighting.
It was I'm glad that you brought up the point about the public actually being on Khabib there, because when I saw the line not crash, I just assumed that was every sharp bettor in the world is just pounding that and holding off the public money, but that wasn't the case.
It was both. I mean, the sharp guys were on Khabib, but there were people all the way up to the fight, people I'd never seen before, coming in laying decent amounts of money on Khabib in that fight. They would never let that price go down. Khabib, I guess the public understands a little bit better than I thought. Because in the McGregor-Mayweather fight, everybody bet McGregor like we were giving money away. And McGregor had no chance of winning that fight. So I was definitely surprised by how much support there was for Khabib.
How often do you guys just give money away?
Like once a week we'll do it. We did it on Monday night with the Saints. And but you never know when it's going to happen. That's the thing. But the Saints was the big giveaway this past week.
Well, you're welcome, John, because I gave some back to you on that game. I was so proud of myself. Had 7 minus 20 with the with the Redskins early in the week. Had no idea you were there. But, yeah, I just wanted to ask you about the Redskins. What's going on? I mean, I'm kind of getting lured in again this week. They're sitting as a one-point favorite against Carolina. I think the Panthers are not quite as good as they've looked. What's your report on your team going into this week?
You know, I kind of like the Redskins in this game, all jokes aside. They're coming off of, like, what will probably, hopefully for them, be their worst performance of the year, which is usually a good time to get in on the team. And Carolina should have never won that game last week against the Giants. And then we saw what the Giants were last night against Philadelphia. So really, that Carolina win, it looks even less impressive. I think the Redskins -1 is the right side, but I didn't give it out this week. I'm not going to the well again. I took the 6.5 last week. That didn't work out too well.
No, did not. No. So we talked about some the big bettors with Khabib and kind of the public sharp split there. But as far as big bettors go, there is one that everybody is obsessed with. I'm not going to use the nickname because it's terrible. But there's a guy who people are obsessed with what he's betting, and we hear that he's back at it this week.
Yeah, he came in here this afternoon. I think we're talking about the same guy, but he bet Arnie -14.5 here. I'll use the nickname. They call him the Duffel Bag Boy. I think it's a terrible nickname. I tried to nickname him Son of Dad, but I got shot down by the VSIN guys. They said no.
That's much better.
I think so. But yeah, the Duffel Bag Boy, and from what I've seen on social media, he's been going around town. Because when this guy fires, he doesn't just go to one property, guys. He goes all over the place. He gets down as much as he can. I heard he had a big week last week. Army -14.5 for 30,000. The only thing I've seen him play this week, at least here at the Superbook.
It's a deep dive into college football to go Army at San Jose State, but I wouldn't exactly call it a sharp play.
No, actually, I've tell you the truth. Some sharp groups that I follow told me that were on San Jose State earlier in the week. Sharp guy I talked to today told me he liked San Jose State. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think it's a particularly sharp play, but I'm not going to pretend that I know too much about either of these teams. Although I do know Army probably should have won against Oklahoma a few weeks ago.
Yeah, only lost by 7. That is John Murray. Follow him. What are you, at Vegas Murray, I think you are on Twitter.
It's good. Yeah, that's at Vegas Murray, or you can just follow at Superbook USA.
That's what I was going for.
I mean, either way, you're going to get the same content. Well, no, actually, the content there is much better than my content. My content is pretty much just sarcastic comments about, like, referees or teams punting on fourth and short.
I've never known you to be sarcastic, so that's interesting. What did you think of McVay last week, deep in his own territory, going for it on fourth down, fourth and one, up two?
Sean McVay did that?
Yes,
you know, I didn't see a whole lot of the games on Sunday afternoon because I was traveling down to New Orleans. If he went for it on fourth down, I give him the thumbs up, though.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan. I did manage. I just got into a bar on Bourbon Street, sat down right as the overtime was kicking off between Dallas and Houston, and got to have just a hysterical laugh as Jason Garrett punted on fourth and two at the 42?
Yeah.
When he's got that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott, he punts it away for the tie. That was incredible. They should have fired him before they even went back to Dallas.
But you like punting.
I think punting is for losers. I think kicking field goals is probably even more for losers than punting is. Look at the Green Bay Packers, gentlemen.
Well, that went well.
I mean, how well do you think they would have done if they just gone for it on all those fourth downs? I bet you they would have done better than missing 4 field goals.
Well, you need to have a quarterback to do that.
True. Yeah, they're stuck with just Aaron Rodgers under center.
Yes.
They don't have much of a good option there in the passing game.
We're bouncing around to several different topics, but I do want to ask you about what we saw happen in the Pac-12. I don't even know if you saw this story, but a replay ruling was going on. The on-the-field officials and the replay officials in the booth both agreed to make a call, which, by the way, it's a targeting call. I know you don't like anyway, but they agreed it's a targeting call. They're going to make the call. And someone from the league, who's basically just like a lawyer, steps in. He's like, I don't really think that was a targeting. So they decided to overturn it based on this guy with zero training, zero knowledge whatsoever, and they overturn it. Is a story that gets out like that, and this has been big headlines, is that a concern for you guys as a book?
I don't know if it's a concern because, we have to monitor it, but it was something we've talked about yet. And I am a fan of more and more people that don't know anything about football being able to weigh in on the outcome of the games. I think it'll increase the hilariousness. I can't wait till that comes to the NFL. But no, seriously, we would have to monitor stuff like that. It could be a concern, but we haven't had any conversations about it yet.
And as we continue to just throw out different things to you, John Jones, Alexander Gustafson is official. Where do you see that line going?
I think John will probably, somebody asked me this yesterday, I mean, off the top of my head, somewhere around $3, maybe a little cheaper than that. I mean, Gus is the one guy that kind of negates John's length advantage, gives him a tough fight. But, you know, John, I'm sure you guys know this, but I don't think a lot of people would realize that Gus has actually had a longer layoff than John has. John's fought more recently than he has. So it's kind of hard to know what you're going to get out of Gustafson.
Well, we talk about...
I am looking forward to that fight, though. That should be fun.
We talk about all the setbacks that John has had and all the suspensions and everything else. Since they fought the first time, John has fought four times and Gustafson's only fought five.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
I didn't even... I saw somebody mentioned yesterday on Twitter that Gustafson's last fight, I think that was against Glover Teixeira, was actually 2 months before the John Jones-Daniel Cormier fight in Anaheim last summer. I thought that was kind of fascinating. But, yeah, Gustafson's not exactly an active fighter either.
Yeah.
I would expect John to win because he always wins, but I don't think he'd want to get too carried away with the price. I think their first fight closed, like, in the neighborhood of minus 800.
Right.
And that was a razor-close split decision that John took, obviously, but it certainly won't be anywhere near that high. I'll call it 280 on John Jones.
What about Cormier and Lewis?
Yeah, they asked me about that one. You know, we actually had that fight up. We put up DC minus $6 yesterday. I put that up before I went over to G2E. You know, the one thing that I took away from how quickly DC agreed to that fight was, A, they must have offered him a lot of money because they lost the Poirier-Diaz fight, and B, he must think that Derek Lewis has no chance of beating him.
Well, he said that. In an interview, he said, I would not have taken a Stipe fight because Stipe can beat me.
Yeah, I mean, he knows that all he has to do is avoid the wild haymaker from Lewis, and he's going to win this fight pretty easily, and he's going to bank another pretty big paycheck. But UFC 230, it's really not that good of a card for Madison Square Garden, am I wrong? I mean, it doesn't really look that great.
Well, with Poirier being out, I mean, it would have been great.
It would have been great if they'd had the Poirier fight and the Lewis fight and the Cormier fight.
Right.
I mean, was that? I mean, my guess is that they lost. They knew they were going to lose that fight.
Exactly.
They panicked and they said, "Okay, Daniel, what do you need to make this thing happen?"
I was really hoping the Shevchenko Cesar Eubanks fight would headline. I thought that would be
fantastic. Yeah, that would really move the needle. I don't even know who Cesar Eubanks is, I mean, I follow this stuff not as much as you two do, but I follow it pretty closely.
You don't watch The Ultimate Fighter, though.
I've watched some seasons of The Ultimate Fighter. I am looking forward to that Ultimate Fighter finale, the Kamaru Usman against Dos Anjos. I think that's an awesome fight for Ultimate Fighter finale.
Incredible fight. Although Dos Anjos today said he'll instead fight Dylan Danis on the street in a no rules fight.
I'd watch that.
Me too.
No rules fight. Yes. Okay, so they can just that include weapons.
I think
how does
so.
That even define no rules? I think we might need to get that defined. I think, Adam.
You might not be able to put that one up.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that one approved by gaming out here. I'd like to see that. Who do you guys blame for the Khabib Conor brawl? Anyway, I never got a chance to ask you that.
I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but I mean, for the actual fight night, I got to think you give Khabib the biggest piece of the pie. I mean, there's just
Okay.
I know.
I get why he did it, but he's certainly the one to blame.
Yeah, Adam and I are in agreement.
I can't argue with that. But let me ask you this one, though. This is a more important question. Was that choke deep at all, or did Connor just decide, I don't feel like being here anymore?
It was a neck crank more than a choke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looked to me like Connor just said, I got my money. I'm not going to beat this guy. I'm out.
Well, nothing was going to change.
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, that fight, after that second round, that fight was just... Well, after the first round, that fight was over. Khabib was just too much better than him. I know I said that several times. It's the bottom line. I mean, it's just there's too much of a gap between those two guys.
Yeah, and I will tell you and the audience as we let you go here. I'll give you an assignment and give the audience the same one. Go find the clips that are now up on Twitter of the enhanced audio of Khabib talking to Connor as he's beating him up.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
Where's the?
I saw that last night. It's great, man.
I want to know where the enhanced audio of Dylan Danis is, though.
Yeah,
isn't that the big question? How has that not come out yet? They have mics and everything everywhere. We got to know that. That's the big question.
Give me the enhanced audio of that one Irish guy who spit at the guy getting brutally knocked out cold in the concourse
by the Shake Shack.
That was my favorite. Yeah, exactly.
It was great.
My favorite highlight of the weekend.
All right, John, we'll see you Sunday morning out at the Westgate. That's the place to be. The theater is awesome. Make sure you get out there and make sure you follow along Superbook USA and at Vegas Murray. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
All right, gentlemen, have a good one.
Thanks, and great stuff from John as always.